Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for a privilege and another exciting training day. Amen, it is. You know, the magnitude of the privilege we have, it's sadly that it's so misunderstood by, it's sad that so many Christians don't really know how valuable the relationship with Jesus Christ and the Lord God Jehovah is. I mean, think about who we're talking about. We're talking about the creator of the entire universe and everything in it, and he has full knowledge of it, both of them. Amen. You know, we sing a song, and it starts out, it says, you were the word in the beginning, talking about Jesus. If you read John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Don't try to make this too simple. Try to gravitate to the magnitude that it is, because when you do that, God will begin to show you more, because it takes a maturity to see the deep things of God. Amen. But anyway, giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, the Father. Amen. The blessed Holy Ghost. And Pastor O, and amen, and the Runner for Christ family, amen, and amen, Gospel Tabernacle Center, Word of Faith, Great Faith, and all the different saints and friends, I say praise the Lord. If I forgot you, charge it to my head and not to my heart, because it's, amen, I know a lot of people, I put it like that, I meet a lot of people, I reach out, amen, and we should be reaching out right now more than ever. Listen, let me tell you something. You know, one of the things that Word of Faith Outreach does when they go out, rather than just immediately ask people, are they saved? Because people don't know what you're talking about. I mean, let's be real. They don't have a clue. And they only know religion. But what they do is they offer them prayer. And this is, oh, man, it's just so awesome. God, that's his introduction. You know, think about it. When you're trying to date a woman, you know, historically back in our day, you know, you would bring a woman some flowers. So that gives God an opportunity to give them some flowers to bless them. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace, amen, before we get too deep in this. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you that you are so gracious, so loving, so merciful, so kind, so caring, so much so that you sent your first begotten son, amen, to die for our sins. And so, Father, we're asking right now that you would bless us, Lord, with your intelligence and your wisdom, and deeper in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Connect the dots for us, Father. Father, we ask right now that you bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available. Father God, we ask that you bless us to fully understand love in his width, his breadth, his height, and his depth. Amen. The love of Christ which passes all our understanding. Bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work according to you. Father, we ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that prayer right there at the end, when you think about it, we have to think of ourselves like Jesus. He's a manifestation of God. We're a manifestation of God. Think about that. God, John 1:12 says, as many as received him, Jesus, because you go back and read verse 1 and you'll know who it's talking about. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Now think about that. You know, I mean, when I first heard the phrase that sometimes the only Jesus people will see is you. See, you can't narrow this down. People tend to, when I listen to them, they talk like, I would say, a separatist. You know, God is separated from them, but not when you are a Christian. Now, a Christian is a person who has at some point in time in their life asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart. That is different than just going plop down in a church that you like. You can go sit down in a church, be there, all there, be on the deacon board, and if you never ask Jesus to come into your heart, when you die, you will get the worst surprise in your imagination. At some point in time, that little dot, that's like a contract that never gets signed. You don't sign a contract, it is invalid. I know some people struggle with that reality, but you got to look at the picture. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. Like I refer to in Luke 16, there's a man named Dives, according to historians. We would not even put any people in prison for what he did. All he did was just be greedy and nasty. I mean, he just refused to share his wealth with a fellow human being, one of his own clan, a Jew, and he's in hell forever. He ain't never getting out. So don't overestimate, don't underestimate. God is merciful, true, but he sent his son to die, and you're not going to. You're not gonna override the rule. I mean, he did. That's costly. I don't know if you ever been whooped, but I've been whooped before. And they didn't even break my daddy didn't break my skin. Jesus got beat with what they call a cat of nine tails. Now, why am I talking about all this? This is what it takes. That's the number one factor in prayer. Now, but like I said, as I was saying earlier, when we go out and do outreach. And we go out, you know, to the parks and stuff, and we offer people prayer. People don't turn down prayer. And that also allows the presence of God to manifest and melt the wall. And after that, it's easier for them to receive Christ. You know, that softens the blow, so to speak. And I don't know who came up with that tactic, but I thank God for it because I will always felt that it was a better way, and that's been the most impacted, most effectual way, because people, and it doesn't matter what the need is. Think about this. As the member of the royal priesthood, God sent us out to pray for people, and God can override. They can be at a situation where they're about to be evicted, and God will find now, because we hold the authority in the earth, we can intercede, and God can make a way legally. See, yeah, it comes down to legally. We're not talking about being under the law. We're talking about you have to understand how this thing works. You can't just assume, especially now. It is very critical. I got to tell you, it's a lot of people around the world that are suffering needlessly, particularly Christians, because they don't understand the mechanism of prayer. And they're under leadership that don't understand the mechanism of prayer. It is critical. I thank God for my pastor. He breaks it down. I mean, you have to, because for him to do what he does, he's got to have somebody fighting in the airways. I mean, people that, you know, he can't call 1,000 people and say, I'm going. He announced where he's going. He expects us to pray. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We do. Because it's my service to God. See, I'm not talking about our Father who art in heaven, and I might get to that day, but I doubt it. You know, my point here is right now, everything, particularly here in America, what's going on in the nation, the crime increase, that is all that is from a lack of prayer. Listen, God, who has the most power? God. Satan don't have the most power. Who has access to that power? The body of Christ. Jesus paid a hefty price for that. Okay? So if we're not praying, this is why in James 4:17 and in 1 Samuel, I think 12:23, would Samuel say he will not sin by not praying for you? That's what we do, because we hold that power. God expects us. Paul talks about that. We're going to cover some territory here. Okay, let's see what we got here. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, yeah, Now I want to talk about a little bit about how much time do you spend in prayer? And I believe a good example is Jesus. And don't let Satan get you into that mode where that's Jesus. I realize that Jesus had the Spirit without measure, unlike us. Like I said last time, or if you haven't heard, that I pray over my power grid whenever I think the weather is going to act up, you know. And I have a thing. This is just me. I haven't seen this in nobody's writing, but I did the math on myself, so to speak. And I pray, I command angels by numbers. Because it's been effective. I mean, it's been a long time since, like I said, I've had brownouts, but not blackouts. Now, understand, I am your average Christian. Great faith is as great as you make it when you apply it. Okay? That is as great as you make it when you apply it. If you believe God, you believe God. There's criteria. I do live a life, and I challenge myself to live a life according to the Word of God, because that was the only way I was going to find out what works. We talked a little bit about that. Matter of fact, I'm going to change up the format here. Last time I spoke, I was in Romans chapter 5. Let's go back there, because, the thing that need to be understood, I want you to have this in mind, you know. See, this thought pattern connection. This is one of the dots or the comma in the conversation we're going to be having today. I've learned a lot about English. I got a computer program that corrects. Anyway, it says, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, now understand that Paul is talking about having, when you read the Bible, you got to understand where his whole mindset is. And this is about having access to the power and the promises of God, one of which is getting your needs met, even getting your wants, okay? He's talking to people that normally wouldn't qualify, okay, which would be us, I guess us. Just as an FYI, I've seen people that took the 23andMe DNA test and found out they are actually, I'm not surprised that there are people of color that actually have what is called the Akhenazim Jew gene in there. And it's amazing that 23andMe actually put that in there to search for that. But check this out. They're finding Hispanics with that gene. They found Chinese with that gene. But see, you know, when they went into captivity, they went all over the world too. But the bottom line is, so your skin color don't determine whether or not you're a Jew. That's my point there. Because I know Moses had an Ethiopian wife, but that doesn't help your credit score. That does not help in getting prayer answered. This is what gets the prayer answered. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, it's really ironic. This was the first time I read that was 45 years ago, and I understood it. It told me then. I understood it. I just didn't know how to fight the devil as the way that I do now. Amen. This is why you need to go to church, okay? Because God, the man of God, there is what is called a chain of command. If you're in law, if you're in the military or in law enforcement, or even in most factories, I mean most businesses, there's a chain. There's the CEO, the CFO, and on down, and then there's the people that just do the job. There's a chain of command. And God will tell a pastor things that he don't tell you, okay? And never get to that place where you think you, it isn't a case of you knowing more than a pastor. That ain't going to happen. You know why? Because you'd have to know more than God. He only knows what God wants him to know for the people under his leadership. He don't have to know everything. He only needs to know what God wants him to know under his leadership, because each church, each congregation is still one church, but we have different functions. We do different jobs. We do different things, okay? So don't let Satan trip you up, because once you cross a pastor, he'll stand there and just be quiet. But you have opened the door for attack. You know, my brother is younger than me, and he's a pastor. But in God's army, he's an authority over me. And the pastors that I, you know, that's under him, they are an authority over me. So I treat them in that manner. I relate to them in that manner. And respect gets respect. But see, what you don't want to do ever is let Satan trick you into giving up your authority. That's what he always up to. That's what all that big-headedness is about. You ain't gonna prove nothing, okay? Because you can do a crossword puzzle faster than they do. Big deal. Get a prayer answer. Wait till a storm comes. Wait till you broke and ain't got no money. That's when it hit. Wait till you get hit with cancer. Then you'll find out what you know. See, when they told me I had cancer, the doctor was shocked. He looked at me like, wait a minute, man. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, you got an aggressive cancer. You got adenocarcinoma. I'm like, okay, what? Like, you know, it ain't like y'all got a great track record. I've been to 5 funerals. Y'all treatment plan. Trust me. But now, again, I have been fighting flu and everything else. I've been fighting smaller battles. They're sharpening my skills. And asking God, when things didn't quite go as fast as I thought, you know, God, now, what it said? Here it go. It says in verse 3, it says, and not only so, but in tribulation, flu is a tribulation. It ain't that bad of a tribulation, but it ain't a good time. And tribulation worketh what? Patience. So this written in the Bible tells you God expects at some time for you to just sit there and take it. But in the meantime, while you're taking it, learn how to praise God at that time. Because it's like a soothing salve. Salve with a salve. S-A-L-V-E. You know, something you rub on you to cool you down. And that's what it helped. Really praise do that, because I've been in my most painful moments, and it's just it's amazing how that'll work, and it will speed up the healing process. That's one thing about it. But we're talking right now. We want to stay on prayer, okay? I don't want to get too far here talking about being. Now, know what it's saying? It's saying talking about hupomomi. That's the Greek word for this, right? Let me make sure I got y'all right here. Yep, patience. Hupomone. Yeah, I'm getting better at this Greek stuff. Anyway, but now I know what it says. This is talking about patience, cheerful or hopeful, endurance, constancy, enduring, patience, continuance, okay? But the one word in there is cheerful, not whining and moaning, begging, trying to get sympathy. You know, it's kind of like what fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, clean yourself up, look good, look sharp, brush your teeth. You don't want that killer breath out there. And don't go around looking all sad. I'm fasting, trying to get something from men. Forget men. I mean, they ain't going to answer the prayer, you know. The point is, you want to go allow yourself to go through the process. You're going to go through it anyway because God will sit there. And if you whine and moan and complain, he'll just let you sit there. He'll let you say, ask Job. The sooner you get to the place where you get what God wants you to get, then, you know, things will happen. You know, it's a challenge in life. We are to learn why. Go back to point one of why training day exists. Because God has in his plan to give us the exact same, or I would say high percentage, a lot more power than we can even imagine right now. So much so that you will rarely hear men of God talk about it. You know, I'm trying to think of this guy's name, but he just recently passed. But, amen, he was a NASA scientist, you know, and I thank God because I had to actually ask God. I'm like, who else is out there talking about this, Lord? And this guy was so far out there. I know people were probably like, what is he? We don't know nothing about this. No, gravitate to it. Take it down, write the notes, go before God, and God will translate it to you. I get a lot of time my pastor say stuff that I'm like, okay, let me write this down. You know, you're going to experience that. This is why you go back and listen to messages. This is why, thank God, we live in an era where they record everything. You don't have to, because I'm bad at note-taking. And you go back and you listen to it and stop and pause it and let the Holy Ghost minister to you again. I remind you, don't read the Bible without saying a prayer. Don't read a book about the Bible without saying a prayer. Don't watch a video about the Word of God without saying a prayer, asking God for revelation. You don't have to pray 5 hours. You don't have to pray 5 hours. But I hope you're getting the fact, okay, because here in verse 4 it says, and patience and experience, and experience hope. See, when you've been through stuff, like I said, I haven't had flu since the 90s, and that come from a simple statement that the first lady of our church was speaking, and that's what she suggested. She said, the Holy Ghost said, don't just run to the kitchen cabinet. Now, I get some of y'all got different types of medical situations. You know, talk with your physician, and then above all, talk with God. But and that doesn't mean you don't have faith because you got to go through the process in a different manner. No, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Everything God does, and that's why you want to talk to God, because what I'm saying, God might give you another whole way of doing it, okay? This is what broke the church. That's why the church in so many pieces. They thought God had a one plan for everybody. No. You know, that's why you see people drive Chevys, Fords, Chryslers, Mercedes. It ain't the same for everybody, okay? So I'm giving you something that I know from experience that it works. I do know you have to live right. That part of the plan is the same for everybody. I do know if you're stealing from God, that part of the plan is for everybody. If you're going back and study Deuteronomy 26, you'll see that they worship with the tithe. God told them what to say before they came and presented their tithe. You know, that's another whole issue. But bottom line, and you cannot pray, believe God for something, then speak in doubt. I hope he gonna do this. You're calling God a liar. If he said he gonna do it, if you presented his word before him over what you're seeking him for, that believing him for, then you either believe the word or you don't. You either believe he tell the truth or you don't. I believe he tell the truth. See, I believe at one point in time I'm going to have another whole other. I mean, everything I'm going to get from God, you know, oh, man, this is just so, you just have to believe God. And right now, practice. Practice. Find something to challenge. Don't believe for Rolls Royce. tests right away, unless you're a doctor or something. But, you know, but the league got, you know, particularly now, forget now, you God is not going to counterfeit money. Now, but like I say, he got a variety of ways of doing things because he's had me. And then I can talk about what he did, and I've seen others do it. We used to call it the holy handshake. He had me to go get some money. I ain't going to name how much, but it was it was some money. It was more than $20, I put it like that. And I had specific instructions. Everybody that gave me an open handshake instead of a knuckle bump, hand them one of the bills, okay? Now, and I've had that happen to me. I've had that happen to me at a time that I needed, okay? God got you. But the main thing is staying in consistency with God. And while I'm at it, if you've been at church, I would say, I'm going to be lenient. If you've been in a church for 2 years, and you serve nowhere, you're not an usher, you're not a greeter, you don't help clean up, you don't do nothing, you're being spiritually greedy, selfish. You should be doing something. Ask the pastor. You know, it should be, you know, because that means something to God. You're not serving just the church. You're serving the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. And that's in Romans chapter 12. If you read it through it, you'll see it, and the Holy Ghost will shout out to you. Because all this is critical to tell God how you are going to handle power in the millennial age, or millennium age. That's the age when Jesus is physically, visibly on the planet, ruling from Jerusalem. Your activity right now, all that tells God what you think. You can talk is cheap. Showing up for church, you ain't doing God no favor. You supposed to go there. There was a time there wasn't no church. Then what? How would you communicate with God? And there was a mandate for communication with him. It's written in the Old Testament. Okay, I think I'm going to believe God for all the revelation on the Old Testament church, because people think we just, God gave us a better, a more organized church. I'll put it like that. You know, it's just different. Bottom line is this. You think all this don't have nothing to do with prayer? Well, it does. Trust me, it does. It does. Because, one, like I say, people should be more successful at it. The church should be, people should be gravitating to the church. They should see success at the church. See, I mean, if you're the sickest person all the time, something wrong. Listen, I refuse to accept sickness and disease on a continuous basis. You know, at some point in time, God, I will humbly ask him, is it me? And if he tell me just be patient, then I'll just be patient. But you need to know. You need to know. You need to know. All right. So we talked about that fact. I just wanted to get that in there. That you want to go through the process, because it says patience and experience bring forth hope. Because you know, once you've been there, you know, some battles you fight, you know, like, I got this, you know. But let me tell you this, too. God will up it. Because he won't let you get settled at one place. You know, he'll call you out and expect you to do more. So that faithfulness has its rewards, you know. Because a lot of you are going to find yourself teaching more. I mean, you know, think about it. There's a lot of outreach activity. You know, they didn't get the scheduling, but I was supposed to go visit Milan Prison recently, local prison. You got the prisons. You got the senior citizens home. You got the drug rehab facilities. You got so many things that churches do. Pastors, they be calling churches and wanting people to do stuff, and they don't have the people to do it. And that's not good. That's what we are prepared for. That's why your pastor preach and teach every day. And if you're under pastor like Pastor O, and you're getting taught, and you're sitting around eating all the time and ain't sharing nothing, that ain't good. That is not good. All right. Moving on. Okay, so we're talking about going through the experience. Now we're going to talk about the man himself, Jesus, and his praying. And there's various times of praying. And again, you know, you want to seek guidance for God. You know, we're going to talk about it where we at. Oh, we great on time. We're going to go to, we already talked about a few weeks ago, Luke 18:1, where Jesus said, men ought to always pray. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And going down about verse 23, well, just so you know, we didn't just come up with this. Well, how long do you think we should pray? Well, you know, men of God, this is what they do. They ask God. And that's the challenge on them. People think, well, he should be doing this. No, he do what God tell him to do. You know, some time ago, Bishop Butler said that he was going to be going to a certain place. He hasn't done it yet because God hadn't told him. He tell you you're going to do something, it's something important, and then he'll tell you exactly when to do it. But you're preparing the process. And again, it's really significant to have a body of believers that pray. Because there's a lot that goes into it. It's going to take money to do some things. God has to do a lot. He has to grow people's income, okay, give them the revelation of what to do with that increased income so that they can do what they need to do. And trust me, God will have, as it was with the, when Jesus said, I think of the 5,000, they had basket loads left over. You know, God will leave you some, believe me. And matter of fact, talking about here, this was just after Jesus had fed thousands. All right. It says, in immediate verse 22, and it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And he had dismissed them and went up on a mountainside by himself to pray when evening came. He was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land and buffeted by waves because of the wind was against it. That's generally called an east wind, just as an FYI. Anyway, because one of my things I don't believe in God for is a 44-foot boat. I've been out in a bunch of boats, and I wasn't comfortable in none of them until I rode in one that was 40 feet long. So I'm like, all right, Lord, this is it. It says, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Okay, now I'm not going to get into walking on the lake part. Y'all know about that part. And now again, but even at that, see, that's a type of power that God wants to give us. That's a type of power that's fully command of the molecular atmosphere momentarily at a speed that is almost incomprehensible, faster than the speed of light. Okay, take the speed of light to see it, but to be up on it and to control it is even faster. Somebody that's off in the physics might be able to give you more details. Anyway, Chuck Missler, that's what I'm talking about. That's the person's name, Chuck Missler, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, and you can look him up on YouTube. But be prayerful. All right. So a watch is roughly about a three-hour period. So he went up there in the evening. So basically, he spent about 3 hours up in there praying. All right? Now, again, that's another thing. You're not going to spend time, particularly if you're in college or you're in business or anything, when you spend time in the presence of God, you're never going to come away empty. It's never fruitless. Now, because people you're storing up. That is storing up treasures in heaven as well as giving money, praying. Now, you have to know. Everything that we know about prayer, Jesus knew about prayer, okay? He knew about 1 Timothy, okay? Because Paul got the revelation from Jesus to pray for those in authority, all right? We might touch on that. We're going through some places here, all right? But the point here is most you want to start spending more time with God. You want to. And serving him in prayer is critical, because if we don't pray, he can't answer. You know, I honestly believe what it would take to have stopped Putin, period, you know, delay him anyway, would just be saints praying round the clock. I know a lot of them was praying, but you had to understand what happens when we start praying. Satan mounts up his resistance. He increases it. Okay? If you really watch the world map, watch what's going on. Satan would actually draw manpower or angel power, demon power from one conflict that's when Africa might see some peace. If we all start praying for Ukraine, he's going to have to pull resources from Africa and other places where he got drama going on in order to apply that power to stop the angelic forces that we call down when we're praying. See, you have to let your mind get to that level of what is going on in the spiritual realm. Because that's what is happening. That's what we are here to learn. Now, in order for you to know this, for you to experience this, and I can tell you from experience, when you spend time with God, he will do every now and then, he'll touch you, he'll move, he'll surround you, he'll saturate your presence, and you'll know it's him, because it's nothing like it. It's, your spirit will know that it's him, and you'll know. And this is why we have a term, it's called praying through. People pray through today can feel that there's no resistance. Satan will press you, press up against you. I always, my first prayer today, always begin with worship. You know, I learned this from one of the most powerful men that walked on the planet, Wigglesworth. Anyway, Smith Wigglesworth. But he only prayed, he worshiped for 10 minutes. And this guy, God was using him to raise the dead. You know, I mean, that's not a lot of time out of the 24-hour day. You know, think about that. Even an hour. And this is when Jesus was going back here, Jesus prayed in the evening. He got over there in the fourth watch, so he spent about 3 hours. Now, he was not just sitting in there just going over, our Father who art in heaven, 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 our Father who art in heaven. No, that is not what he was doing. That is not what he was doing. As a matter of fact, that's a prayer outline. The actual Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17, where he actually prayed. That's the disciples' prayer that he talked about. We might cross that path. But anyway, so I want you to see this time frame. He sent them away in the evening, and then he was there the fourth watch. And like I said, so that would have been a three-hour gap, roughly about, I would say, 9 p.m. in the evening, all right? Now, what he's doing is, he knows who he has to deal with. And matter of fact, well, anyway, my point here is, praying for an hour. Now, I tell you what, it's not hard to do. It's really not hard to do. If you think about all the things going on in the world and the people that need help, I mean, by the time, generally when I pray from the east to the west, and I end up in the U.S., and I'm last. I have a tough time remembering me. For my family. So I start out praying for Xi Jinping over there in China, and the Christians in China, and the persecuted in China, and what they need. Okay? Now, it isn't wrong if you put them up and group them. If you group China and India and Russia and Europe and specifically for the Christians, you know, praying what they need, as I say, the Ephesian prayer, the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of the knowledge of God, because they need to understand God, because a lot of the places they don't have Bibles, a lot of them Bibles are prohibited, and North Korea, they live under such restrictions. But we can get in through the spirit realm. And God can minister to them through the spirit realm. He can get things done, but he needs us to do this, to pray, to simply say something. And if we're doing it consistently, if I'm praying at 3 o'clock and you praying at 4 o'clock and somebody else praying at 5 o'clock, see, he can work consistently. Satan got kicked out of heaven with a third of the angel, but he only got a third. Okay, God still outnumbered him. He has innumerable angels. But see, again, God could have made this heaven on earth, but he didn't. Think about that. Think about the realities. If that's a question that's on people's mind, that's what's in my book. Why did God let the devil exist? Well, because I wouldn't know how to do this. You come here with a blank slate. What do we do when we have children? We send them, we teach them, and then we send them off to school. Why? To learn about this life they live. We don't come here knowing everything. People try to act like they do, but they don't. They don't. All right. So all this works together. All this comes together. And again, the key factor behind that, because we are a spirit being, man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion. And he lives in a body. Okay, your mind, will, and emotion is the soulless realm. So we, by nature, being intellectual beings, try to self-rule. You'll see that throughout the Bible. I was reading about the Tower of Babel the other day. I think that's in Genesis chapter 11, if you want to go back and read it. But the point is, they were trying to get out from under the rule of God. And you see that when you see it throughout the Bible, all these other nations that are different from the nation of Israel that don't worship the Lord God, the true and the living God, is because they don't want to be under his rule. And the whole point of this life is for us to learn to be under his rule. This is what it's about. Because in the fullness, when we are in the fullness of man, when we go to third gen man, as I call it, God, the only thing that will regulate our lives is our love for God and our love for his creation. Love your neighbor. That's it. Matthew 22:37-39. That's it. He ain't going to be standing over you, even though during the thousand millennial reign, Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, but then you're going to have two classes of people. You're going to have people newly issued power. It's so much going to be going on. But he's going to handle it. He will be handling it. All right. So I'm trying to draw you a picture that prayer isn't just another religious, I'm struggling for words here. It's just something we do, you know, to impress God. It doesn't. But it does reveal to him that we understand that we are subject to him. We are obedient to him. And that we understand love, because nothing motivates you more to pray for other people than love, knowing they have a need. They don't even know what they need. Pray for them. We, just like Jesus said, they don't know. They have no idea. Forgive them, because they know not what they do. But all this hinges on that. Now they have a right to not do what God tells them. That's obvious, because people are going to go to hell. According to Jesus, the majority of adults. Anyway, but God will have on record, at the white throne, those of us that prayed and how they responded to that prayer. They'll get a fair trial, see. So we only require that same thing with your family, your children. You pray for them, and if they keep going the other way, you done did all you can. And for parents, I recommend that all parents read 1 Samuel chapters 1-8, because that's critical in there, in understanding that the outcome of those two different prophets is expressed in the fact that one is continually blessed by God. Even both of them, their sons were killed because of their behavior, but God only held one prophet in low esteem, and esteemed Samuel because he did what he was supposed to do. You can't make a self-determined individual do. If God can't make them do what they're supposed to do, you can't. You know, all you can do is pray. like I said, because we're dealing constantly with demonic, Satan is there. Satan is there. I believe it's in Zechariah chapter 3 or 4, where it says Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side ready to resist him. That's what goes on. He exists, but see, we have to respond to knowledge of the word of God. And again, this comes back to, this is what prayer is about. See, prayer is one of the things I've learned from experience. When you pray it every day, and you come before God and something ain't right, he gonna tell you about it. And Jesus said that. He said, if you have an offense, before when you come to the altar, if you have an offense, go and settle that issue first. Go and settle that issue first. Because we like to pick and choose, or we like to, again, we self-determine. See, the whole point is, it's a lot easier for me, I put it like that, to just do it his way, see it his way, you know. So, because it will work on the other side. At the same time, when you goof up, God will be merciful towards you. Trust me. Thank God for his mercy. All right, so I hope I hit my points anyway. All right, so we're talking about the fact that you want to spend time. Now, it's very important. Yeah, I know a lot of people new. You've been there, probably been saved 15 years and never done this. Don't start out trying to pray 3 hours. And don't pray 3 hours unless the Holy Ghost tell you to, because that's the only time I go beyond an hour is he instructs me to. He leads me to. And you have to become sensitive to him. You know, at Word of Faith, at times when the Lord tell the bishop we come, he said we're going to have a special prayer. And one time we prayed for 8 hours. So, well, you know, I prayed. I pushed because I wanted the experience. I wanted just what Paul said, the experience. And you can lean on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're full gospel, so we pray every kind of way that is written in the Bible, all right? And it's a process that we do that. I ain't got time to explain all that right now. But, and then there was another time when it was just 4 hours. Then another time it was just 2 hours. Then there was another time when it was just 1 hour. Then it's been 15 minutes. But the point of the matter is we pray a lot. And I do every day. For years, when I got the revelation that I should be praying an hour, and I didn't start out with an hour. I started out with 15 minutes, and it seemed like a long time. But anyway, I went from 15 minutes to a half hour and on and on and on until I got to the hour, okay? But then I was only praying 5 days a week, like the devil took the weekend off. Yeah, right. That's his busiest time. And because I was working, I'm like, Lord, you get me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray? And I got to go to work. And God told me, he gave me instructions on what to do. Simple things, like when I get through praying, believe him for rest. And I will wake up refreshed each time. Wake up fresh, like I had a full night of sleep, best sleep you get. You want best sleep, don't just lay down and go to sleep. Lord, I thank you for rest. And tell me how that work out for you. But anyway. All right, so I went through the process. And that's what you want to do. Why? And you're not going to labor for God and him not bless you. God hold himself accountable to the same thing he hold us. He said the laborer is worthy of their hire. Now, I'm not saying you're praying to get blessed, but I guarantee you he will. I guarantee you by the word he will. All right. So we're talking about Jesus in this one instance. He went and prayed, and that was, like I said, for 3 hours. Let's go to Luke 6:12, another time frame and some things that went on after that. Now, again, particularly pastors, you know, I listened to these several men of God, and they talked about how when they were seeking God, how much time they spent at prayer by itself. And I can see that. Before a major decision, you spend time worshiping and praising God. And this is what goes on here. It says, one of those days, and I'm reading from the NIV this time, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, And that's another thing. Separate yourself. You know, me, I don't have a lot of people in my household. You want to get someplace where it could be just you and God. I spent a lot of time praying in my car, you know, praying in the basement, praying, you know, whatever. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying. Spent the night praying. In the King James, it says, spent all night praying. It says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him. He called all the disciples, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Okay? And then, all right. Now, that's just one thing. I'm not going, well, I'll read it. I got a few minutes here. Well, I'm going to skip down because the time is getting a little short here. Okay, that's where he picked all 12 disciples. And note this. In verse 16, it says he picked Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, mind you, Jesus prayed all night, picked Judas, the crook. Now, note that. Because when God give you an assignment, you do what God say do, how he say do. Don't let your personal opinion get involved. This is another reason you have to be sure, have to be, because you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You want him to bear the brunt of it, him to be responsible. You don't want to be like King Saul and just make up, do some stuff and then the responsibility fall on you. Now, note this. You would think normally that you wouldn't choose a person you know was going to double-cross you. But you have to look at the whole picture. You have to look at the whole picture. It was going to take that. Judas fell for Satan's game, but Jesus picked him. But Judas, somebody was going to do this. See, some things were going to be. But again, let me help you with this. You have to, another thing you have to have in mind is the magnitude of the power we're going to have to be totally perfect. You have to be omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. You have to know anything, everything, be able to do anything and everything. You can't. So some things, at some point in time, you're going to be out of alignment. Judas, his second dumbest move was when he committed suicide. Had he not committed suicide, God would have forgiven him just as he did Peter for denying him. That's where he went wrong when he hung himself. So, but anyway. All right, but he did pick him. And he went down with them and stood on a level place. And a large crowd of disciples there, and a great number of people all over from Judah, he was held in a revival, had come to hear him, verse 18, and he healed, and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and all the people tried to touch him because the power was coming from him and healing them all. Okay? This is the second phase of having spent all night in prayer. The anointing was magnified, you see. So that generally would follow all-night prayer. Expect God to utilize you in a unique manner, see. You can't be fearful about that, see. And you be sensitive. You may be in Kroger. And if you're in Kroger and God tell you to pray for somebody, don't pray real loud. And try to go someplace where... Preferably, you know, where nobody can see you. You don't need to be show shy, what Jesus said. You don't need to be, you know, showboating, you know, showing that you know how to pray. You know, I mean, and anyway, but like I say, you want to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Preferably pray for him out in the parking lot. And then, if God just tell you, get them some money to pay for their groceries, you know. But, okay, so the point here is that there was a power flow here, you know. And this is an area we are learning about, experiencing, You have to let God take you through the experience, because several months ago, I had an experience and I didn't know what to do with it because I had heard about it, and when it happened, then I was looking for somebody to lay hands on, you know. I'm not going to tell you what it is, so, you know, but yeah, because God don't do it the same for everybody, okay? But it was clear because I was seeking God for this revelation. I expect God to do more miraculous, use us to do more miraculous things in these days. Amen. Then after that came what I would say revelation of the knowledge of the word, because after that he gave what is commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. Okay, so first you have that he picked the 12 disciples. Now, mind you, like I say, he sensitized himself in the spirit by praying all night. And I know he didn't just, like I say, and I agree with a particular man of God in the South. I ain't going to call his name. But I believe Jesus prayed in tongues. I don't think we do anything that he didn't know how to do. He had full knowledge. So, you know, people debate that, but I can give you the scriptures that refer to it. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't scripture to back it up when it actually happened. But see, and people like to debate because, like I said, that's an area your mind can't get with. That's why God created it. And that's why, because he wants you to have a boldness in faith. And that demands that. That demands that. Praying in tongues demands a boldness because you're talking to God. I'm telling you, when God came, the Holy Ghost said, pray in tongues. And my first question was, how do I know I'm not cussing you out? Because he's doing the praying. And I'm just flapping my lips. And it's amazing how that occurred. He's doing the praying. That's another whole issue. Okay, and his response was, I'm not going to let you do that. I am not going to let you do that. So I wasn't worried about cussing God out. I won't cuss God out. You want me to say some stuff in a language that ain't even Chinese? They don't tell you. It sounds like Japtalian or something. But that allows God to minister anywhere on the planet. He can see the way it's set up legally, okay, you have to remember that Satan has control of the planet. He has legal right to block angels from delivering blessings if a legal person with authority has not given authority for that angel to be here. See, I mean, think about this. You got to remember that this could be heaven on earth, but it's not. So you need to, like I say, ask God for the revelation, but once he gives you the revelation, you're responsible for the revelation, all right? So again, like I say, he spent all night praying, so he got a revelation on who to pick for disciples. He got the anointing was flowing, and he got revelation. This is why it's essential. Before I come on the air, I pray in the spirit, okay? Under the spirit, in the spirit. And that is how, you know, you can have all your notes, but then if God is deciding that, because one person, see, God is looking at somebody down the road going to listen to this message, somebody today flip-flopping, I'm going to listen to it, I'm not going to listen to it. So, you know, he's basing the message on what's going, that he knows is going to be needed, not by what I put down on notes, okay, because I done had these notes for a while here, and today, after I think what the third week or the fifth week, that I'm just now getting to this particular portion. But again, that's obedience. That's obedience to him, because like I said, I wanted to like I said, you want to do what God say do, how He say do. That's the key to success as a Christian. All right, amen. But I hope you're getting something out of this, amen. I don't know where it's going next week, but amen. But I just believe God. But let's say this is the first time you're listening to this broadcast, first time you're hearing this, and you really want to understand this, but you have to begin. God cannot understand. God cannot. You're a private person, and to minister to you, God needs your permission. And you give him that permission by saying this prayer. So just say this. Now, and say this, Lord God in heaven, I believe your word, and I believe that you created us, and I believe that we were born in sin as a result of the fall of Adam. And I ask for forgiveness for my sin, and I accept your offer of forgiveness that comes through your son, Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. And I thank you for it. Ain't that sweet? Just took 15 seconds. Canceled all your past. Now, if people remember your past, God ain't going to make them forget that. I went through that for a long time. Believe me, people was reminding me. There's still some folk remember my past. But see, that's the good thing. They're going to remember my past way back, nothing recent. And it's a process. Let me tell you the key to this life. Don't quit. I don't care what, how you fall, trip, whatever. Don't quit. And remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week. More. Your goodness, your mercy. More. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. More. Your love and your grace. More. I just need a taste. More. Your peace and your passion. More. Your joy and compassion. More. You got it, I need it. More. I just gotta have it. The throne of my heart, occupy it, reign supreme. Yeah. Kill my lust and pride and all my other ugly things. Wage your holy war inside me till you overcome. Yeah. Let your kingdom come. Yeah. And let your will be done. I was dead, foul, nasty, dirty. I had no eyes to see or ears to hear that you were worthy. But your spirit hit me and gave me new direction. I see the deeper things, I call it depth perception. Now your presence is my treasure, never-ending peace. And they can't keep me from your love cause it'll never cease. So I pray you keep me cause I can't keep myself. Protect me from my sin, I know I'm bad for my health. And I'm dying to know you wake me up and let me read.
is a